Thank you. You guys are so wonderful. You've been taking this course here with us, studying the book of Ephesians. Has it been enjoyable? Have you enjoyed the revelation God's been giving? Well, we're now going into chapter 3. I'm so excited to unveil for you, by the Holy Spirit, the mystery of God's will, and to show you some secrets that Paul the Apostle has been given to unveil to Jew and Gentile, to show us this divine mystery and how it impacts even the angelic world. Are you ready? Let's pray, first of all. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to pour like a river in through this room into every heart, every life. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go right to chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now his prisoner, the prisoner for the sake of all of you who are not Jews. What a testimony of love. I would say somebody that is willing to go to jail and take your place for you is somebody that we should listen to, don't you think? Verse 2, I have been made his prisoner so that you will hear the grace gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you in this letter. For this wonderful mystery, which I briefly described, that was in chapter 1, was given to me by divine revelation. There is no way you will understand the mysteries of God unless God reveals it to you. You need to write in your notes 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 10. Actually, the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As part of your homework, I would like for you to look at that chapter and consider it as it relates to the unveiling of the secret things of God. For this wonderful mystery, which I briefly described, was given to me by divine revelation. I'm sharing it now with you in detail, verse 4, so that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and my insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. Here it is. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Paul is stating, and of course this letter was written 2,000 years ago, almost. And he's stating that it is in the era of the church. It is in the day of the church being in existence. The church was formed at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and breathed the life of God into every one of us. In the age of the church, the mysteries of God are being revealed. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, that the mysteries of God have been given to us. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Matthew 13, 11, Jesus says, to you have been given the secrets or the mysteries of God. It's the same Greek word, mysterion. So it is our privilege. Jesus even said that their ears would have loved to hear the words you get to hear. Eyes would have loved to see what you get to see. Jesus said that. So, beloved, we are so privileged to live in these last days. And the last days began 2,000 years ago. We are in the last days, and we have been in the last days for 2,000 years. Just make sure you understand that. When you read in the prophets where it says, in the last days, it's now. Because Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, God in times past spoke by the fathers through the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us in Son. And the way we've translated that is, the Greek text is like in the language of Son. We speak in English, God speaks in Son. That's his language, sonship. So in the language of sonship, God is now speaking in these last days. Isn't that a rich revelation? And it's through our sonship with him that we now enter into the divine exchange of hearing and responding to the living God directly. So it's like every one of God's people are now prophets. Every one of us now can hear and speak the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The only thing that limits you is not a gift, it's unbelief. Because my sheep will hear my voice. You cannot hide behind the excuse of I'm not a prophet. Who cares? I'm not a policeman. I'm not a fireman. It's irrelevant to say that. That doesn't mean that I can't put out a fire or I can't help somebody in a time of need. See? So we all hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. So we all have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the last days began 2,000 years ago. That was the day before yesterday. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years is like, okay, Jesus died the day before yesterday. We're in the third day. We are a third day people. We're in the millennial generation of a new breaking forth of the signs and wonders generation. And we are in the last days. So every promise of the last days is for us right now. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So the mystery that God hid, he did not let anybody know. The prophets didn't see it. They may have seen a glimpse, but they couldn't proclaim it. They couldn't define it. But God says to the holy apostles and prophets of these last days, he is unveiling and revealing the sacred mysteries of God. Prophetic revelation is not telling people what they already know. You know, one time I said, well, Lord, why don't you start giving me people's phone numbers? He said, well, when they forget their phone number, I'll give it to you. I said, what about their address? Don't worry, if they forget where they live, I will speak to you and give you their address. So prophetic ministry isn't just telling people what they know. It's unveiling secrets and mysteries to them. And that's what's so puzzling about true prophetic anointed ministry. So in these last days, God is taking the mysteries that have been hidden from past generations. We're in the day of unveiling. The unveiling of Jesus Christ has begun. We are in the days of that wonderful unveiling. Let's go to verse 6. Here's the secret he revealed to me. The gospel of grace has made you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs of his promise of glory through your union with him. You inherit the promises of the Jewish blessing because you are one with the Jewish Messiah, who is the fulfillment of those promises. Therefore, you have the fulfillment of those promises because you have the Messiah in you. You see the calculation here. Verse 7 and 8. I have been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me, even though I am the least significant of all his holy believers. This grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. Whoa. Grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to Gentile people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. Let's say those words. Say inexhaustible,
inexhaustible
riches
of Christ,
which are beyond comprehension. Paul says, that is my gospel. Are you preaching that as the gospel? God's grace fuels my passion to enlighten every person to this wonderful mystery, which was kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all, and has been hidden from the world until now. Why did he do this? So that every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm would have unveiled before their eyes God's full and diverse wisdom. Wow. Now, if we stopped right there, we could understand that. But get a load of this. Revealed through his loving plan for the church. God's wisdom is revealed through us to the angelic realm. We are instructors in the university of the angels. Every believer is a professor. We are instructing the angelic wisdom, the angelic realm of the wisdom of God. How does it feel to teach the angels? Don't you understand that's why they come to our meetings? You think our meetings are that great? Oh, we finally get to hear. Oh, we can go in here. Oh, Michael W., oh. Listen, they have really good worship up there. They have really good night and day, endless glory worship up in the heavenly realm. They come into our meetings because they want to learn the secret wisdom of God. What is the secret wisdom of God? G-R-A-C-E. The grace of God. They do not know grace. They have no need of it. They have no understanding of it. They're looking at wretched sinners who were fighting God, who hated Him, cursed Him, blasphemed so many times, and then suddenly in a day they get converted and start to become like the one that sits on the throne. And they're going, what? And they come and they hang out because they're peering into the mysteries of God. What do you think the cherubim were doing? They were looking at mercy. They were amazed at God's mercy. The cherubim on the mercy seat, they were looking at the blood-sprinkled mercy going, oh, wow. It was so foreign to them. They peered into the secrets of God. It's a mystery, isn't it? What do I have to teach angels? Don't make me answer that. But according to Paul, it is through the unveiling of the plan of God and the beautiful destiny of your life. You're like a ship on the high seas. How did you get to the right harbor? How did you get here? Up and down, like a ship on the high seas. There's no lane. There's no, you know, Jersey barriers. There's no median strip. And yet, that ship on the high seas, the ship of life, you end up being exactly at the right time, the right place. For how many years you've walked the earth? And all the time, it's not serendipity, it's God. He's bringing you step by step into the fullness of your destiny. And you go, my, oh Lord, this is amazing plan of God, yeah. And it's the way He operates His kingdom. The way of the ship on the high seas. It's a mystery. It's the mystery of your life. Grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehensions. God's grace fuels my passion to enlighten every person to this wonderful mystery. God, through Paul, is saying, get enlightened, get a light, which was kept a secret in the heart of God, the Creator of all, has been hidden from the world until now. Why did He do this? So that every throne, rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm would have unveiled before their eyes God's full, manifold, diverse wisdom revealed through His loving plan for the church. This perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that now, we have what?
Boldness.
We have boldness. Now we have boldness through Him and free access as kings before the Father. That's the Aramaic text, which is literally we have kingship. We have the kingly anointing. We have kingship before the Father. By the way, Jesus is the King of kings. We are the kings He's the king over. He's Lord of lords. He's the Lord over the lords of the earth. We have free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in what? Our own ability to pull it off, our wonderful nature to always choose what's right, our what is it that is our confidence? Faithfulness of Christ. My dear friends, listen, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by all that I suffer on your behalf, for it is for your glory. So when I think of the wisdom of His plan, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. I'm going to just move right on through the chapter. When you stop and think about the wisdom of God's plan, it will gender humility. It will gender a devotion in your heart to think about your plan. I mean, how wonderfully, beautifully He has designed your life, and it's all working. It's working. Life works, folks. It's working. Verse 15, I kneel before the Father, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. This is a beautiful, beautiful phrase translated from the Aramaic. It could be translated the perfect father of every people group, or he's the father of every fathering group. So the Greek word for father and the Greek word for family are almost identical. You don't really have a family complete, do you, until there is a father. And quite similarly, it indicates that every family finds its source in the Father. So he's the father of every family that can be named. What a beautiful concept. So Paul prays with this revelation burning in his heart. And his prayer in chapter 3 is unlike the prayer of chapter 1 in this regard. What did Paul pray for in chapter 1? Wisdom, revelation. Prayed that we would discover the hope of his calling, experience that we are the glorious inheritance of God, and that we would experience the immeasurably great power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God, and that he's now the head of the church, and that we are his body. Those are the 7 prayer requests of that prayer. Now in chapter 3, he's praying for love. In chapter 1, the focus is on revelation and power. In chapter 3, the focus is on faith and love, because faith always works through love. Verse 16, I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory. My, just that phrase right there. That he would pour out over you, upon you, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Power, dunamis, come on. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting carried away here. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. By constantly using what? Keeping the laws, keeping the rules, double tithing, going to church 8 days a week. What is it that it's faith? It's through faith the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Even the foundation itself grows. It's not just the building grows, but the foundation grows. Then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate, that's the depth of his love. Far-reaching, that would be the length of his love. How enduring, the breadth of his love. And inclusive, the 4 dimensions, height, width, depth, and length. There's revelation there. Don't think of like a cube. The height means where it goes. The length, he'll endure and tolerate. Love covers a multitude of sins. My, how enduring. I got to read it again because I like this. Okay, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. Does your spirit say yes to that? How enduring and inclusive it is. Is there anybody outside the love of God? No. God so loved the world, not just our church family. Enduring, endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Filled to overflowing. What's the key to being filled with the fullness of God? Knowing his love. Knowing God's love is the key to the fullness of God. Why have we missed that? There's no such thing as a loveless maturity. There's no such thing as Christ being released through you without love. Because God is love. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. These are like refrigerator verses. You should write this out and put it on your refrigerator. Really. This is a refrigerator verse. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. Guess what all this is? It is chapter 1, verse 1 to this verse. Everything we've shared with you in these sessions that we've delightfully been together, God's able to accomplish all of this in your life. Never doubt it. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. You should sit down for this one, all right? You should put the tray table up and fasten. This is like, all right. He will achieve infinitely more. Everybody say infinitely more. Than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream. You got to say it the way I said it now. Your most unbelievable dream. And exceed your wildest imagination. And outdo them all. For His miraculous power. Constantly energizes you. One more verse before we end the session. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ. That's a lot of praise. Oh my. And all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. And everybody said,
amen.
Give Him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray that prayer will be released in every person that is present in this room and watching this course. That what looks impossible, what looks like it is defeating them, what seems to hinder their family, their increase, their finances, their health, Lord, their career, their ministry, whatever you have set before them. Lord, I pray this verse, this refrigerator verse, Lord, will be written upon our heart that you will do more than our wildest dreams as we activate faith, as we don't give up, and we trust in your love. We pray this reality to be fixed in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you very much, guys.